All right, guys, welcome back. This is Four Guys,
One Film.
This week, we did one of the greatest movies that was probably ever done for the martial arts genre, Kung Fu Hustle. If you haven't seen Kung Fu Hustle, some slapstick combined with some great kung fu.
And some wushu.
Some wushu. A shit, like, really hard to comprehend story, but it doesn't matter. It was fun. It was engaging. We had a lot of laughs, maybe even some tearjoker moments. We're going to find out. But getting into the movie, one of the best things that I really want to, like, talk about as far as the beginning, like, the completely unimpactful setting that they set just with that different crocodile gang boss that they set. Like, I was, like, going into it, like, whoa, what is this? Who is this serious character? And then just to kill everybody off and have an army of random axemen coming in. It was just a really weird and different way to ever set up a movie that I've ever had. I don't know for you guys if you felt, like, anything in particular as far as any other movie you can relate that to.
Nothing that ridiculous.
I think, what's that one, like,
Master of Disguise.
No, not Master of Disguise.
If we can ever bring up Master of Disguise.
Hey, but you know what? Also, please read, please go look at that fucking, it's a great podcast.
Yeah, it's good.
We got good reviews on that. Episodes. Fucking,
George,
don't be a dick.
Loved it. It was a wonderful movie.
George, absolute flaming garbage. Just
before we continue,
decision.
Let's just settle. George is, like, has a opinion, okay? Okay,
let's
get this out of the way. Okay, that's how we're going to start this.
Oh, my God.
Let's cut that out.
You can't start off hard R. You can make fun of me all you want, but, like, Jesus Christ,
I'm making fun of one specific person right here.
Kung Fu Hustle, goddammit.
Okay, back to Kung Fu Hustle.
Back to Kung Fu Hustle. Settings. It was so weird. Like, I love that this movie had, like, what felt like very obviously designed sets. Like, even when you were in the actual, like, slums, if you will, it felt like you could tell that they built this set in the middle of a gigantic field. So, like, I don't know. For me, I visualized, like, what the fuck? Who would have a working tiny economy and, like, building in the middle of, like, nowhere? Like, it kind of gave me, like, Courage the Cowardly Dog
vibes.
You know what it was?
It was 1940s.
Exactly.
It was 1940s Chinese communism. That's what happened there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100%. And then it's just the idea, Shanghai, too, of even having, like, one random-ass casino slash, like area where the gangs were working in, but no actual, like, visible settings besides a small notion of a police station. It was so, like, bizarre. It didn't lend anything to the actual story, but it felt like that was so intentionally great. Like, let me tell you that the story isn't the most important thing in this movie. It is how funny it's going to make you feel, how ridiculous it's going to make you feel. It's something that I don't feel like we can do nowadays.
Going back to what I found with a similar movie, I think it's, like, closely related to, like, a Monty Python type of movie.
A Monty Python. There that's a
go.
Good point.
Have you actually seen a Monty Python movie?
I've seen a bunch of clips of it because it just never called to mind.
You can't compare then not actually see the film.
George, did you see the fucking film?
Yes, I did. I didn't enjoy
What's
that
it about?
Much. I don't know.
What's it about?
I don't know. The fucking medieval times.
Exactly,
there,
bitch. You saw the clips
on a quest.
You saw, like, don't
no,
be fucking
no.
telling. Don't be lying.
The Life of Brian.
It is
Holy
but
Girl.
A flesh wound.
But all the clips I've seen about, like, the Monty Python, it just have been slapstick comedy jokes, have been just, like, gag jokes, and there's not really a story to be told. I feel like I haven't lost anything, like, that I haven't seen in clips or just, like, oh, why watch this movie? And I don't, like, and that it's the same thing, I think, with Kung Fu Hustle. There's not really a story going on. Like, the story starts off with, like, two dudes that are supposed to be, like, evil doers, but they're just, like, weak as shit, can't do
fucking
anything.
Fucking wannabes.
They're fucking retards, basically. Like,
oh,
fucking.
God. But let's get into why it works, though. Because, like, for me, you know, I can't come up with why Hollywood thinks that these movies don't work anymore. And maybe it's because, you know, you watch some, like, we even talked about Master of Disguise having some issues with, like, sexist jokes that they thought in their head at the time it was actually doing the opposite. It was supposed to be making it better by promoting, like, different body standards or whatever. But obviously here they talk about fairies. They talk about, like, you know, make very obvious jokes to, like, men's sexuality and shit like that. But and genuinely, I think that's actually surprisingly the only real issue that they covered that was probably wouldn't work today. I'm trying to think of any other examples. Like,
no, even, they were being perverted a little bit. I feel
oh yeah, the perversion days. Yeah, like, yeah. Peeping Tom and stuff, very good points. I mean, like, that's something that I feel like Hollywood will still kind
the
of
landlord trying to fuck all the chicks,
all the chicks, yeah. And then, like, getting his ass beat by his wife, like, yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
and
also the smoking probably wouldn't be okay because she was smoking like
also
smoking.
Oh yeah, they kept calling her a fat like,
oh
like, I don't think you can't just throw that in a movie now.
Yeah, now
it
well,
like,
well, actually, I still think they kind
why,
of do that sometimes where it's
like
it's meant to be a offensive.
Like, okay. Well, I mean, like Talladega Nights, right? We saw that, and that's the same thing. Really raunchy, really just kind of like toxic masculinity, all those different things. But they're not going to make Talladega Nights nowadays.
Well, that's what's funny is like you have movies like Killers of the Flower Moon. You have movies like The Irishman, where because they're timepieces and because it's common for that time to like objectify women, disrespect men, you know, whatever it is, like a race, it's fine. Which I get it that, you know, we're trying to say like funny shouldn't be derogatory, funny shouldn't be sexist, funny shouldn't be racist. I get it.
I mean, but I think you can pull it off in some instances. Like Django, like it's Django.
Oh God damn it. He says it in the fucking movie and is silent. Dude, he says it himself. Dude,
this guy, Alexis, besides all the fucking point.
He can't pronounce shit, look, can he?
Django. It's still comical. And it's very racist. Sorry, and fucked up. And
it somehow is. They it still is. Make but it like, worse. Django's actually a good example of like
how the D is silent,
you
damn it.
Can say certain things in a comedy movie or in an action movie and it'd be okay. But I feel like Django's still old enough where they were getting away with it, and I still feel like, to Isaac's point, Hollywood's getting away with it. Like, getting away from it.
But
and it's frustrating.
My thing is, too, is just like, why is Hollywood getting away from it? I don't think it's like necessarily a bad thing. Because it's just like, okay, am I making fun of you directly? Am I making fun of, like, I feel most of the time when you're doing slapstick comedy thing, you're making fun of, like, a specific character that's in that thing that's also making fun of that fucking...
Yeah.
Like, it's... I'm like, who am I offending? Like I don't give a fuck, like, if I see a movie that's offending Mexicans or Latinos in any way, well, I'm like... It's like, fuck it. I think it's funny. It's like... If you really care about that much, like, get your head out of
your
head.
You know, for me, I think the big thing, too, is, like, even, like, from a race perspective, I was going to say a different example, but I think this is better. Like, from a race perspective...
Latino because, like, you know what?
Because we are Latinos, exactly. Latino. So, from, like, a race perspective, there was a Latino joke, right? Yeah. And it's used to just bring down Latinos, and it's used to say, like, we're greasy or whatever, you know, we're not... Like, it's stupid. But if you want to make a joke that is funny but depicts Latinos still as hardworking... like, which is what we really are, or it depicts us in a light that's good. Like, this movie, for all of the catcalling and, like, the kind of, like, him chasing, like, the landlord being, like, a womanizer, like, trying to get whatever he could from any girl, it still depicted women in a very high standard. Like, all the women would stand up to him when he was being a perv, and then his own landlady was like, fuck you, and she was one of the biggest badasses in the movie, too. Like, and that's where it's like, well, you can still make fun of people slightly as long as you're not just bringing them down.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I wanted to take a step back. I'm like, what do you guys want them to bring back? Like, all the fucking toxicity and like
the all the offensiveness.
Let's go into this point right here. We've all probably seen the Chappelle Show at least once in our lifetime, right?
Three times.
Yeah.
I don't think if you're the asshole that's going into there and like, hey, we need to cancel Chappelle. Because he's honestly saying something fucking hilarious, right? In that show, like you, what are you trying to prove here, man? Like what? Like come on.
Yeah, like, I mean, but there's still like when it's clearly comedy, and when it's like comedians like Key and Peele, like they get away with a lot of shit, and that's pretty recent. Like it's not too far.
Key and Peele's like what, like 2016? Actually,
it was pretty tame though. It was pretty tame. Compared to Dave Chappelle.
Compared to Chappelle, would go crazy. Chappelle still goes crazy. I mean, like, I'm not going to agree and
say
that
he hit
does
some of
it.
Those topics, though, but in a very, like, almost, you know, sophisticated, but, not like, you know, lowbrow comedy.
No, Chappelle, look, if you're saying Chappelle's sophisticated.
No. Like they do it in a way where it's not offensive, but it's still hitting those really, you know, hard-to-hit topics and doing it well. And, like, presenting them in a way where it's comedic, but it's not offensive.
Okay, George, I want to... Before we get... I think if you... If you are that much up your ass that regardless of it's offending some type of somebody and you can't laugh at a joke that's truly fucking hilarious, right? It doesn't matter if it's offending you and like in any which way. And you're just like, I'm not laughing at this because of what it said. And in your head, you're laughing your ass off. You're a fucking dick, okay?
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I can see people looking at it that way. I really don't give a shit. Honestly, I'm like, I think it's going to be funny like if I enjoy it and it makes me laugh.
Come on, dude. Like, how are you going to even interact with like...
Are you talking to me specifically or are you saying those people?
I'm talking about a general organization.
What do you mean those people?
Those people that get offended, Alexis. That's it.
What do you mean those... I like how Alexis, the Asian guy in the room, is the one who's like Kung Fu Hustle. What do you mean those people?
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway,
I saw that.
It's important to say this. Comedy is subjective. I know some people won't like some shit, but we just feel, I think here, we're all agreeing that I think we can loosen the reins a little bit. It'd be nice to see movies like Kung Fu Hustle come up a little bit, especially getting more into it. It's the combination. I love,
or even closer, like Ricky Bobby, which like it's talking about a subject, and unfortunately, people that love NASCAR right. are in the South.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I want to bring something up because you guys are like, oh, I wish we had more Kung Fu Hustle, right?
Yeah,
bro, that's not even a fucking American movie. They don't care about what we think is offensive.
Yeah, but
they don't give a shit. The Chinese are doing their own thing.
I know, you're
but
right.
Are they still making movies like that over there?
International markets are important.
I watch their stuff.
I read a lot of manhwas and stuff like that, like Chinese stuff. Like they're doing shit like
that. International markets are still so important.
The Chinese market is way bigger than ours.
No, I'm saying, but I'm not saying it's not. Of course, the amount of population.
Do you think this movie was like targeting international, like the West as well?
Or oh
was
no, it just, I like, think it was just I think they're just trying to literally make a funny movie. They're not targeting any. Yeah.
Well, they made a fucking hit because this movie is fantastic, and it's like it's absolutely. Murdered over here.
Yeah, and I mean, I wanted to try to transition topics a little bit. So slapstick, we talk about how we want to bring it back, but I think it's important to like talk about the incorporation of this type of comedy with something that also is very near and dear to my heart, which is martial arts movies in particular.
Yeah.
Like you and I, George, talked a little bit about Ip Man. Well, because it's different, right? Like I have a movie like Ip Man, right? That's also Kung Fu. You know, it's actually not Kung Fu. That one is Wing Chun, but it's also Asian martial arts.
Wing Chun.
I thought that's what I said, but anyway.
You're busting at George right now, man.
Either way,
are you really gonna fucking try to get him?
It was really good martial arts, right? And this didn't sacrifice its martial arts just to make jokes. Like, is the
which is so great because it's like they literally said we're gonna make the action sequences like if we were making a fucking kung fu film, absolutely. And like they did it so fucking well.
And we're also gonna have other action sequences that are absolutely fucking stupid. Like, you can't tell me that the sequence of him running away from the landlady, and then like all of that was so absolutely ridiculous, but like. Funny, it lended like that's what I like. Like some of my favorite martial arts movies do great martial arts, but it's just serious. You know, the best example I can give you that really was kind of like this was Drunken Fist, like with Jackie Chan. Drunken Master, where he did practice Drunken Fist. Thank you. Like that was a funny movie just because of the elements of alcohol. But I really feel like we can talk a lot here about the martial arts in this movie. So I don't know what your guys' favorite parts when it comes to it, what you guys liked and what you guys enjoyed.
Yeah, well, I feel like. Like you guys are saying, there's not a lot of movies like this, but you know there are like roots, right? Roots in like the Jackie Chan films, right? Like everything that he did with martial arts was always infused with comedy, and he's the one that really like kind of popularized that over there. And so this obviously took it to an extreme where it kind of has like a Looney Tunes
aspect
to it, you know. And I don't think anything's even lived up to it. Since
martial arts and comedy nowadays, and including in my opinion honestly Jackie Chan, is all injury related. That's what it's like Three Stooges, like someone's getting hurt.
Well, I don't know, maybe this might be a weird movie from you guys, but have you guys ever seen the movie Kung Pao?
Oh my god, you know, with the white guy, right? This isn't like a white guy,
it's a white guy. It's like
it's bad, it's like a parody. Yeah.
It's a parody of this movie. I think it's hilarious, and they go wee-o-wee-o. I think maybe we review it on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm gonna put that on my list. That's
on Rotten Tomatoes has 2 out of 10.
Oh, yeah. You know it's great.
Oh, dude, it's so like.
So it's gonna be another, you know, like Master Disguise 10 out of 10 for us, right, George?
So, this is gonna be cringy.
No, but I'm like, there's other movies that have done it. And I remember.
But it's hard to say that one though, because that's a parody movie, like you said, isn't it? Technically, so
technically, like, I would consider it a parody movie, but at the same time, like it did have like a lot of funny shit. Like it made fun of like the interactions that people like the in Japanese old Japanese movies would take like they would say like 3 words and it would still be going.
Yeah.
He converted 2 hamsters into nunchucks.
Yeah,
like he was a baby that was born with kung fu powers, and like it's a funny ass movie. I remember watching it like when I was super young, and I'm like, this kind of reminds me of it. And
another deep cut for you guys to check out if you're liking this
deep
one.
Cut. That's a very deep
but,
cut.
But going back to what you're saying, Alexis, with Kung Fu Hustle.
No, but I was just remembering too. But the thing that about Kung Fu Hustle is that the martial arts isn't funny.
No.
They take the martial arts wushu elements to like, they take it very, very seriously. Yeah. They do it very well. And then the comedy is just the interactions, obviously, on the side. And that's something that I can say, I don't think Jackie Chan did as well. Because, I mean his fights were funny. I mean, they were serious, but then they were also like...
Yeah, he'd have like to use like a chair to like protect himself like a lot and do of, the splits and accidents.
Yeah, like a lot of like, I think maybe like Chaplin influence. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And also like, Jackie wasn't trying to make a funny movie. It was still like trying to. It was portrayed as a kind of like semi-serious movie right. that had funny elements.
I agree with that.
Right.
And yeah. this,
right.
and like Kung Fu Hustle was just, I feel like it's comedy from as soon as the fucking movie starts.
Yeah. Right. Just the fact that there is no, you know, daughter of a high political figure that he has to save. He's not a super important cop. He's like. None of the, like, honestly,
nobody was a serious character.
No one was the protagonist, in my opinion, until like yeah. literally the last 10-15 yeah. minutes.
Who's the protagonist yeah. in your opinion?
Like, well, the protagonist ends up being Sung, I think is his name, or Sing, sorry. Sing ends up being the protagonist because he's the one who is the chosen one, right? The one who's, I guess, embedded with Kung Fu from the day he's right. born. So all he had to do was get hit, and then.
But he's an asshole from the start.
Yeah, he's an asshole. So he's like, I thought
antagonist. No, he was an asshole because he got peed on and bullied. You know. That would make anyone an asshole.
Nah, I mean, some of us are into that.
Yeah. He broke I mean, that girl's look, lollipop.
I know George is a BDSM.
Hey, don't yuck my young BDSM.
Don't get me wrong, like, Golden Showers, you know, anyone yeah. that's into them. You know, not to put them down.
We're not going to yuck your yum on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Every time I hit Alexis I and George, I know they get hard.
Him or you?
Nah, no, man, mostly George.
Yeah, mostly Isaac.
A little bit of a masochist, what can I say?
Let's go.
But going back into it, yeah, Kung Fu in this movie is fucking great. And the fact, I loved that they were doing hand-to-hand. There was so much depth to it. Like, one of the masters at the beginning was, like, kick-focused. The other master was,
yeah.
like, iron fist-focused. Dude,
the iron rings were so fucking cool. Because he looks like such a fucking dweeb. He's like, oh, this guy ain't shit.
He was a tailor.
He's nothing.
Dude, I had no fucking idea that was going to happen when I watched this for the first time. Okay. I had no like, that's what I think was so fucking great about this movie. It's like, it's just shock. You're like, what?
Hey, remember the scene when he's like, all right, somebody in the crowd, who wants to fight me? Who wants to fight me? You.
He chose the shortest guy. He stands up.
Yeah, and then he's like, you short guy over there, you're looking at me funny. He stands up because he was sitting down. Yeah. And he's like, I said no chance.
Yeah, you'll be too easy. Yeah. And then he chose like the old man, but the old man when you fucking like had to beat his ass, dude. Yeah.
It's like, those are the things that are the best about this movie is elements of like, you're not going to take that scene seriously because you know how stupid it is, so you can laugh unequivocally. You can let go.
Yeah.
And, like, there's not a lot of movies that let you let go like that in the middle of a movie.
And they're kind of making fun of people without saying it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just reacting to it. And I think that's maybe what we want, right? Where it's not like, oh, we want to hear somebody say, oh, that, whatever. You know, like, okay. we just want to be able to fucking laugh at shit.
And I think if you guys look up, what do you think is the most iconic scene in this movie? Because I feel like there's quite a few, but to me the one that stands out the most. And before I say that, what do you guys think?
I know what it is. I'm like 99%. What is it? I think it's when Sing is running away from the landlady.
That's what I was thinking too.
It's such an iconic fucking
scene. It's fucking amazing. It's so hilarious. Like, that's what I was saying, is action in this movie was also greatly done. Like, you had comedy where it was
I'm laughing
about
it.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Just thinking about it.
Just thinking about fucking him going underneath the truck while she's like fucking twirling in the air.
And she's still smoking.
But like, sandals. You have different types of comedy with just the scenes of like action.
Like this.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Yeah. They're going so far. And honestly, dude, I watched it this last time. I watched it at 1.5 speed just because I wanted to check out what that scene would look like accelerated. It was even funnier just watching how fast they're moving.
But I feel like that's maybe like the comedic like image. But then when it comes to the action, I always think of like the fucking the palm. On the ground.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Like there's like a lot of like striking imagery in this movie.
Absolutely.
As we continue on with our description of this movie, we need to self-promote ourselves a little bit.
Right.
Please follow us on all of our platforms. Please interact with us. We want to interact with you guys. I'm telling you right now, if you guys send us the very first email, you will get a gift from us. And we're really trying to provide content that you guys like.
Still waiting for that email.
So interact with us, we'll figure it out, or eventually we'll even lower our standards. Whoever fucking interacts with us on like one of our TikToks, we'll get you guys some gift that I think at least $100 value. So
holy shit,
oh my
man.
God,
no, I don't know about
what
that.
Do we agree to that? I don't know about that's $25 each, dude. I don't
that's
know.
Crazy, bro.
George, you've never had $25. Okay?
That's exactly why I'm complaining. What do you want about?
This is gonna come out of my behalf.
George is like the characters in the movie. He hasn't paid his landlady in 3 months. Okay, we need to think about this.
And I'm the one running away, and then while she's
I'm the fucking landlady running after
you. You know what's funny is that I was going back into this as I was thinking about this movie. this like straight up feels a little like Kung Fu Panda-esque too. Like just like the idea. Because
they're both Chinese. Wow,
dude! I don't even see race. I didn't notice that. No, well, the fact that they're both kung fu.
George's the fact
it's kung fu hustle. Yeah. That's the only thing I related.
Like, God damn it.
They both movies start with kung fu.
George, yeah, no. Do you only see race? Like, is that because like nobody brought it up? Like, nobody even made that connection. That's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, man, that's crazy.
I honestly,
taste the rainbow, baby. Any race, yeah, any color.
Like, that's what any man.
Any man bussy.
But like, I love that. Like, it almost feels like this should be a like a cartoon movie, you know, like you mentioned Looney Tunes.
Well, you know, it basically it is because the CGI is just so fucking outrageous. Well,
that was probably the best CGI China could provide at the time, yeah. Too.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't bad though. It was like,
when did this movie come out, Andre? Can you give me a quick?
It was like 2004, no?
Yeah, it was.
This was good CGI for 2004. No,
it was fucking great, dude. There were certain scenes where I was like, "What? How did they do that?"
Is this better CGI than Master of Disguise?
No, I don't know.
Whoa,
that's pretty crazy.
So much better.
A lot of that was practical. Okay,
I said CGI, not practical effects. We're talking about two different things here, player.
I don't know.
As a real moviegoer, you should know.
That's fair.
But I mean, I think
it had better practical effects than fucking any of the Mission Impossible movies.
Amateur Alexis, dude. Kind of know the difference.
All right, hey, say Django right. Say Django right.
Django.
Or Havasu.
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 But you guys are ridiculous. I love it. Going back into this. Characters. I think for me, one of the biggest things that was really cool about this movie is the fact that people look so fucking normal.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about how...
Yeah, there wasn't, like, one single gorgeous person.
Well, even... And actually, I'll argue that Singh was pretty towards the end, and same with, like, his love interest, the deaf woman.
Yeah.
But... That's normal, though. Like, what place doesn't have any people?
No, I know, but, like, it didn't feel like, oh, there's this one absolutely gorgeous
it didn't feel like
person.
They hired the hottest actresses or actors.
One of the fucking martial arts dudes that got killed, he was fucking, he's pretty hot.
Yeah, but, I mean, but they didn't portray him that way until he was fighting. Yeah, like
badass.
And even, same with, honestly, the guy who was the tailor, who they kept calling him a fairy. When he was wearing red underwear and they were like feminizing him like crazy, but then when he took his shirt off like from fighting, like he was like, especially for a guy who looked like he was in his 40s, like he was pretty built, like you could tell this was a dude who genuinely knew how to do martial arts and was strong enough.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I liked, is it showed really normal people all throughout the movie.
They actually did the makeup effects to make him uglier or more normal.
Shit, probably.
Like, actually, I think when I was a kid, I remember thinking that. It's like, whoa, these martial artists are just people. Regular dudes. Like, they don't look like all ripped or whatever.
Yeah, none of them. Like, it is tough to see movies where they're all Bruce Lee or they're all like Donnie Yen or they're all Jackie Chan. It's like, how many of the people who are actual like fighters in the world look like that? Have you seen the Diaz brothers? Diaz brothers are fucking ugly, but God, we love them. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, who's like, also ugly? Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Whoa.
Hey. What the? I'm saying that. What? Get the fuck out of
What are you saying,
here,
dude?
That's crazy.
Current
you
day Keanu Reeves.
Put respect on the Keanu.
No, you're saying current some day, bullshit right
current
now.
Day Keanu looks ugly.
Oh, dude. I think you were going to get canceled, bro.
Dude, I was like,
I don't
what?
Think he looks ugly. I think he just looks older.
First Point Break? Dude, fuck.
Like, what fucked me up is he has a gizzard now. And I feel like...
That's why he has a beard, man.
I know, but it just makes it look flatter.
But how old is he now? Like, fucking...
He's like almost 60.
Yeah, but... Dude. Okay, but our dad...
How dare he be old, man?
But my dad's like 68, and he doesn't have a gizzard like Keanu.
Yeah, my dad's pretty chiseled, too.
Yeah.
All right, like, fuck your guys.
George, does your dad have a fucking gizzard like Keanu? And Keanu's like... skinny. I mean, he's not even in good shape. Yeah, I think he's just like...
My dad's getting a little chubbier, so I'm like, you know.
Nick, your dad doesn't have a fucking gizzard. Your dad,
dad's got like a triple chin, brother.
No, he has a triple... No, okay. Your dad could have a triple chin and still have a jawline, but this guy has zero jawline. And like, if I see him like when he was 25...
We can't all be Alexis's dad, dude. You know, my godfather? Oh my God.
Yeah. All of a sudden he's your fucking...
Not even
when's the last time you said hi to him?
Right, he's
not
age.
When's the last time you said to...
Alexis, time for you to develop your Oedipus complex. How hot is your dad?
We're getting psychological now, Oedipus.
Yeah, brother.
You're crazy, dude. You can't believe you're bringing my dad into this like that. My dad is a very attractive man, I think so.
Yeah. Hey, someone's got to do it.
No.
We're doing the Lord's work.
Like father, like son.
I hope so.
All right, back into Kung Fu Hustle, guys. Scenes. Favorite scenes, best parts of the movie. I want to start getting into that a little bit more. I want to jump right in. We talked about it a little bit already. That montage of them chasing each other with Singh and the landlady.
I think that's everybody's favorite scene, but like besides that one, because there's a lot of scenes that we can go over. And
yeah,
like
let's
that,
do it.
And that one's also like, again, that's why I wanted to bring that up in the earlier, where that was like, what's the most iconic scene? And it's going to be that.
For me, like, all right, I feel like there's so many that we're going to agree on, so I'm just going to throw one out there that I'm just kind of like, did not expect at all. So when he meets the deaf girl again and he robs her,
yeah,
and it's like a whole scene where it's like, oh my god, this is gonna be wholesome, and then he just slaps the shit out of the fucking lobby. I was like,
wanna,
what the fuck, dude?
Do you want to know what I hoped from that scene when I first watched that? The only thing that I wanted,
I thought he was gonna turn into a leaf and become a good person.
I thought what he was gonna do, and I thought what was genuinely gonna happen, was that she wasn't gonna recognize him until he got beat up in front of her and somebody pissed on his face. And then she was going to have, like, if I was director, that's what I would have done. I would have been like, that's the moment.
You would have seen her sniffing?
No, but it genuinely made me sad. He's like, oh my God, you realize it's the same deaf girl that he saved years and years ago? And then he knew, absolutely. Bitch.
I'm not weak.
Oh my
God. That was a great scene. All those interactions, even like where they first stole ice cream from her and he's just like, ah. And then when they finally saw her again, were just great. And it was just like, the frustration of her trying to figure out, like, how do I communicate to this guy when I'm deaf? Like,
I'm this chick. Signing. He's like, oh shit.
And he's just like, this stupid girl's doing gang signs. We're not in a gang yet, you fucking.
All right, Alex, what's your favorite scene?
I'm just thinking about that scene when they're trying to fuck with the landlady.
With the snakes?
With the snakes. And he, like, throws the knife and he throws the handle and the knife, the blade stuck in the other guy.
And then he takes it out. He's like, oh my bad.
Puts it back in.
And then with the snakes right after. And he comes out with huge lips.
Yeah.
Well, I got confused with the significance of him all randomly. How did he end up with the fucking, I'm trying to remember how he ended up on the traffic signal with the palm strikes when he was like, he was frustrated.
Oh.
Because that was like right after.
I think because he was just in pain. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Nick, what's your favorite scene?
So we all talked about which one we loved. And like, to get less funny, more serious, the scenes where it's the landlord and landlady fighting against, what was his name? The Beast?
Oh, the Beast? The Frog Man?
Yeah. When they were fighting inside of the, specifically the casino, I thought, like, at first I thought it was just really cool martial arts and I really liked it. But then when they incorporated the bell, you know, it was really cool, like, small callback for that scene when they were, like, I was like, at first I thought her ringing the bell was trying to, like, signify, like, oh, she's gonna give up. But then, like, little by little, I wasn't understanding, like, why is she slapping it? Why is she cracking it? Why is she breaking it? When she used it as a megaphone, it was so genius.
Yeah.
And then I, like, the thing that I also loved is the reality of how the Beast acted as a villain. Like, he gave up twice, and both times that he gave up, whether it was that scene or the one when he was finally fighting Singh, he completely used it to get an upper hand and cheat. Because, like, his whole thing is, like, no one said we were fighting fair. No one said we were fighting with honor. I wanted to kill you.
True.
And so if I have to lie to you, I will lie to you. Like, the amount of times you have these quote-unquote honorable fucking villains, it's stupid. Like, how do you go from being like, I'm going to nuke the world, to being like, let me give you an opportunity to kill me right now? Like, no.
I'm going to tell you how to stop me.
Had you had the ability to disarm this nuclear war, Ped, this is how you do it.
I'm glad that bite. You're right. Now that you bring it up, I'm like, that is such a big trope that happens in so many movies. Like, you're the fucking Bond villain, and he's like, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to murder you and give you enough time to fucking
escape. He did the opposite. He was like, I surrender. Don't worry. You're cool. Just to stab you. That was great.
No, that was solid.
So I love that scene. What about you, Isaac?
Mine was with the harpist.
Oh, that was fucking
brutal.
Well, the fact that they killed one of the martial artists first really set the tone for how strong these guys were.
They're a real deal.
They right away, like, and then, like, just showing them, like, I was really worried when I saw the cat. I was like, oh no. And then you just see them slice the cat and you're like, ah, damn. But at least they didn't show it in person. That probably would have enraged some people, me included, because I love my cats. But it was funny to see, like them set up, like, in a silly way, but also in a serious way. Like, these guys are threats. Like, they're not fucking nobodies, you know?
It was also a threat, but there's fucking knives flying out of the instrument. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And then Gator's like, no, they're not actual knives. It's just the personification of, like, the sound waves. And I'm like, no, motherfucker, these are fucking knives. There's no way.
You're like, the persona.
Fucking makes sense.
No, that's the funny part, is the personification, the sound waves of the knives. I can kind of see it. We watch Demon Slayer. I get it. You know, you fuck with the Wind Hashira just as much as I do. But But what was funny is when all of a sudden it wasn't just knives, it was fucking skeletal warriors.
I'm like, it's not a personification anymore. There's a fucking
demons
Mongol
out
warrior.
And I love that
thing.
They did that. They're like, there's some legit martial arts, and there's also like like we're this not gonna
this is sorcery.
We're not just as much as we're not gonna address why these people run the way they do and so fucking fast, because this isn't that's not legit martial arts at all, or why she has a lion roar. We're not gonna address.
I've seen you run like
you're
that,
right. I'm not a. I don't have a lion roar black belt, so that's my fault.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't heard demon kung fu techniques.
Come I on, don't.
That's fucked up.
I also a different school. Think it's funny how like they integrate
Korean, your taekwondo.
Well, bro. I don't know what it is with like. A lot of these, like whether it's anime or cartoons like this, they always announce their move. Like it has a name, which is like interesting that they integrate.
Oh, like Tiger Palm.
Yeah, and it's just like what the fuck.
Well, to
like,
be fair, this penis time dick flip 3, they weren't announcing the moves; they were telling each other, "Whoa, she's using this."
Oh, move. Okay, okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
That was good.
Well, but I know, but most animes you see that they're like fucking
Shadow Clone Jutsu
Rasengan.
Yeah, it's just like what the fuck.
1,000 years a day.
Exactly. 1,000 years of death. That's my favorite for sure. But yeah,
I have a different technique for that one.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure you do. Of course he does. It's a full fucking fist, and it's gonna leave a hole in you. But anyway, I love that segment. Thank you guys for sharing with me all your guys' favorite scenes. I think before we end and before we can kind of transition, the last thing I want to talk about, probably the only real downfall to this movie to some extent, is characters. We have some impactful characters. I think the landlady really sticks out. Mm-hmm. I think Singh is the Singh, honestly.
Can you see if she's done any other movies that maybe?
Yeah,
we she deserved like an Oscar, honestly.
She really killed it. I mean, and I'm pretty sure like you know
Chinese films.
I'm hoping she got a lot of credit over alive. There, especially.
She does a lot of kung fu movies.
She's still alive.
That's great. I think
dude, she was iconic.
She literally. Was iconic, but I think obviously, you know, it's a good thing with slapstick kind of movies like this to not have like every character stand out and be super impactful, because you kind of have to be ready for them to die and mess around just to really like add to the goofiness and silliness of it all, as well as the action of it all. But it did feel like just the fact like that Singh wasn't really brought up as a protagonist until the end. Like even though he was given a redemption arc, it's like we never even really rooted for him. You know,
I thought he was gonna die.
Yeah,
I was. You know what? I think
it
made
this movie incredible. If Donnie Yen was in it.
Oh shit, of course.
He would, I feel like.
I don't know if they had a.
I think Jackie Chan.
That would have taken away from it.
Though. I feel like Jackie Chan would have done great.
I don't know if
Jackie Chan is like very, very good. Like, you know, we were talking about silly movies. I also thought about Jet Li when he played the Monkey King, Sung Wukong. I forgot which one was that one in. He plays, he's like the one that's stuck in the staff.
Wukong. Son Goku?
No, it's. I forget what movie. I think it's like. It's not Fearless.
It's not The Mummy 3.
Yeah, it's actually The Mummy 4. Yo, Tom Cruise, that's who it was.
No, Tom Cruise ruined that franchise.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It wasn't even a franchise. Did they even launch that bitch? Like, well, I think it was just one movie and done.
There was three mummies. What are you talking about? Brendan Fraser, my
no,
guy.
No, I'm talking about
the second, when they tried with Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, when they tried to redo it.
Well, DOA.
I think he's saying he killed it. Yeah. But there's a lot of really, like, I kind of like that there wasn't any giant, like.
Forbidden Kingdom?
Forbidden Kingdom.
Thank you. Forbidden Kingdom was the one that I was thinking about. Where this one was a really good example too, because it had him play Sun Wukong, which was silly, as well as Jackie Chan playing a silly character, but it was still like nowhere near the level of slapstick that this had. Like I felt like they were like, this almost feels like I'm watching like Looney Tunes back in action with Brendan Fraser. It gives that vibe, and I loved that movie as a kid. And
honestly, if you love this movie, I think you'd love Compound.
Yeah, we'll give a nice quick rec from Isaac. Well,
you know what's another indie film, deep cut, that I haven't seen that I would love for us to watch? I think it's called 100 Beavers. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I heard about
it. It's a black and white film, slapstick comedy. It's like Looney Tunes
style.
Didn't
it just come out?
Yes, it was very recent, but I've heard nothing but good things about this.
We gotta check it out.
It's an indie film, and it's very short, and I heard it's fantastic.
Hundreds of Beavers.
You got a 96 on 90.
Oh, yeah, it's Hundreds of Beavers.
Hundreds of Beavers.
Nice. That's what.
It's not the beaver I was thinking about.
Yeah, speaking of the things that George tried to get this weekend, we're gonna
beaver pelts.
We're gonna move on to one of our favorite segments over here, getting into some of your guys' reviews. So let's get Letterboxd.
Also, as you're watching this and you're thinking a movie to watch, do not watch the new Beverly Hills Cop movie. You'd be disappointed.
Axel Foley, it sucked.
Yeah, I think it sucked. Man. Yeah.
All right.
If you like any of
it was straight to Netflix. I mean, it was to be expected.
Dolomite was good.
I like Dolomite.
And I'm like, he had the potential to do Dolomite, and then this one was kind of like, he really. It basically just seemed
this
like
was a check.
Yeah, it seemed like, oh, I'm watching Beverly Hills Cop 1, but with this kid.
All right, so Letterboxd reviews on Kung Fu Hustle. All right, this one. Let's start low, and then we'll go high. Okay.
Okay.
There's love.
I know, it's crazy.
Whose leg am I massaging?
All right, this guy. Sexual. His name. I don't even know how to. It's just MBPM. Mbpm.
NordVPN.
They gave it a 3-star.
Wow, it's
too silly and disjointed with a different energy for me to really rate it right now. Rate it high now. That it'll always have a special place.
Not with a 3 Wait, fucking rating.
No, it sounds like it's a rewatch.
I know.
It sounds like
he they said it'll always have a special place for me since seeing it as a teen who didn't have a lot of other quite as fantastical martial arts films like it, besides The Matrix.
Oh my God! What?
Huh?
I mean, I think The Matrix did take a lot of.
Yeah, but The Matrix but is not if a.
The Matrix like, is.
But you know what?
Of martial arts
I think Kung Fu Hustle took from The Matrix though at the end.
Really?
Because when he's revealed as the one, it's what's true. He doing? He's beating the shit out of all these fucking X gang members.
No, you're right.
What did Neo do? He beat you're the right. shit out of all these fucking
computer
white people. You know,
yeah. Yeah, all these agents.
I mean,
beat the white people.
Yeah. But anyway,
he was wearing white, so he became white.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they were wearing suits.
But 3 stars. So it's weird because like they obviously like it, but they kind of give like a lower score.
I mean, I know some people are purists when it comes to martial arts movies, but like you got to be able to enjoy the ones that are silly. Like some of them are silly like this. Some of them are silly mm-hmm. like terrible acting. Like I'm sure, Isaac, you've seen Never Back Down.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking great. I love Michael J. White. Love him.
And it was great.
And all
was
his
great.
Shit is so fucking overacted, but goddamn can that man sidekick. So.
But I.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know why he keeps getting roles, honestly.
I mean, because he's
Michael
good
J. White.
What?
Yeah, Michael J. White is fucking great at Bond. He's phenomenal fighter.
I'm not saying he's not a phenomenal fighter. I'm just saying he's.
Oh yeah, his acting is not great. But that's why you're not looking at him say something.
Yeah,
you're
it's like at him Arnold. It's not you know yeah. his yeah, acting chops. I know, it's but like that's like his action
biceps.
Fucking hero.
His lickable biceps.
No, but I'm like, there's other like Johnny Atkins. I think is a.
Oh yeah.
I'm like the, like if you're gonna you have
fucking Scott Atkins.
Or that fucking guy. I feel like if you're gonna have Michael J. White, or you're gonna have Scott Adkins, I'd rather choose Scott Adkins any other fucking day. Like,
I mean, I think yeah, there's wow. there's
back
a lot
to the
of
review. I think it's a little harsh.
Yeah,
I'm like, I think that they no, enjoyed it at a certain point, and then like now you're just comparing it to different things. That it's not, yeah,
not every movie
it's not
can
meant
be,
to be The Matrix.
Not everything needs to be Donnie yeah. Yen. Not everything needs to be you know like. Fucking Jackie Chan like level of like serious you know, movies.
It is silly,
but
you
enjoy both.
Here's the thing, though. I think. Did we all see this as kids? Because I saw it when I was like
I saw it as an adult.
I saw it in
oh, really?
Telemundo.
Yeah, no, I only watched it as an adult. Actually, I think I watched it for the first time with you guys, and then this is the second time.
We saw it together?
I think we watched it like casually. Like,
oh, interesting.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
George, are you confusing this with the thousand other friends you have? You
I don't really have a lot of friends.
But I'll be honest with you guys. I didn't have to rewatch this
movie. I haven't
seen
you in 3 weeks, okay? That's what we're not going to talk
guys,
about.
And you recently saw it or you remembered it that well?
I don't have to rewatch. Yeah, I didn't see it recently because I've seen this movie like 100 times.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
It's that good to me. You know, like, it's
phenomenal.
It's so fun. It's yeah, it's fucking everything I need, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But yeah, and then jumping on that. So this one is by Sulia Leitu. 5 stars. I love goofy shit like this. Reminds me of the first time my dad put on Shaolin Soccer when I was 12, and my siblings and I rewatched that burned movie for 5 months straight.
Same director. Of course you'd like Shaolin Soccer.
And then they said,
great take.
They said, my biggest regret is watching this on a Delta flight at the age of 27 instead of on a box TV when I was 7.
Wow.
Damn, what a good movie.
What a fucking classy person. That's class right there.
That's class right there.
That's what they don't make them like that anymore.
No.
Crazy.
They don't.
I know George is in class, but
all right, let's do this one's another 5-star by fuck, I don't even know how to say this. Skarsgård? Oh, I don't know, fuck. This movie's made 20 years ago. It still is better than the movies made nowadays. It's
facts.
Humor, action, cinematography, facts. Music, story, and the actors they are world class.
They facts. Don't make them like they
5
used to.
Stars.
It's so you know, silly and so good.
I can hear the soundtrack. I can hear the Axe Gang theme.
Dude,
it's funny.
I can hear the guy going like this. No, no, no.
I can see butt cheeks.
You know what? Think about this, too. We don't understand. Like, obviously, we don't speak Cantonese here. But we don't need to. Cause,
was it Cantonese or Mandarin?
Pretty sure it was Cantonese.
Can you look it up?
Yeah.
But, like, this movie is just memorable on its own through, like I think it's simple acting that they do. You know, like, they're just conveying these emotions and then all the action, whatever. Like, we don't need to know what they're saying because I feel like if we can mute the fucking movie, we'll understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, actually, I was watching it on the way
over right.
here, and I couldn't even read the subtitles because I was driving and doing other shit.
Oh, that was because you can't read.
No, that too, but it was still like, you're watching what's going on screen, and you're just like, oh my god, like, this is hilarious despite, like, not understanding what the fuck they're saying, because it's really just visually appealing and hilarious. I think
it's perfectly, like...
I think it's like me and Nick when we watch anime now. Like, we don't even need to be seen
sometimes because it's like physical acting is what it is.
It's like, it's like, comedy transcends barriers, language barriers. And you don't really need
whether it's the action sections or it's the comedy sections. Like, they do so much with their facial expressions, with their mannerisms, with their hand gestures. Like, like, everything is so, like, silly and or serious.
Like, I feel like they have like 10 Jim Carreys on that.
Oh, cast. Dude, straight up.
Like, the landlady literally, like, she's just pissed. Like, I'm trying to fucking go to bed, motherfuckers. Like, you guys are having a fight out there. Slapping all right, the I'll end it myself. And then the husband comes out. He's like, all right, you guys fucking dragged her out. Now we have to fucking kick your ass.
Throwing the chancla around.
She's legendary.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
All right. Next review.
All right. I'll have this be the last one. This is by Mansick. All right. And they give it a 3.5 star. But I kind of like what they're saying. So they say, so hard to do good stylized genre, and this does it flawlessly. Kill Bill is a movie I love, but as I watch more Hong Kong kung fu films, I realize where it pales. Stephen Chow's a gift. I love that this leans so hard into goofiness. We need more of that. A dream of a movie. I would say if it's a boring Friday night and you're wanting to watch a fun movie with some friends, this is the one.
It is.
3.5 stars.
I know, I really
that's, that. Wow, that's such a good review, but 3 stars? That's like...
I think maybe it's too stylized.
Now that we're going to go to Havasu this weekend, and we're going to have a time...
After all these years.
I think we need to go watch... Let's watch a funny Bollywood movie.
And a Bollywood movie? I've never seen a Bollywood
movie. Oh, you've never seen it, but wow, you're fucking...
Me neither, how about Triple R? I mean, you didn't watch that one?
Say it out loud, man.
Triple R?
RRR, come on, man.
You don't... Is it just RRR?
This is RRR.
I don't know, does it matter?
Dude.
When it got the Oscars, they called it RRR.
Yeah, I gotta watch this one. I haven't seen it either.
Okay, dude, like, they are, like... You guys need to watch, like, because now we reviewed Japanese movies. We reviewed Chinese now. Because Cantonese, Chinese.
We've done some Korean films.
Have we done Mexican?
We haven't done Spanish films. We should do some Spanish.
That's because hate Latinos.
No, you know
what? Oh, I know a lot, so.
Okay. What's the one that...
Hey, Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Let's do that one.
Vida de Perros? What's the one that's
Amor Perros?
Amor Perros. We should watch that one. I haven't seen it. I heard...
Y Tu Mamá También.
Y Tu Mamá También.
Or
Isn't that a Bad Bunny song?
Oh, Ejen Derbez.
Dude, that guy makes the saddest fucking movies and the funniest fucking movies.
I know. All
right, but going back into this.
We're traveling the world, boys.
Before we get to our ratings, I wanted to do one last thing. Influences from this film that we see today. Like, I feel like this is such an iconic movie. And, like, you know, I was seeing some of the facts that Andre was putting up on screen. And one of the things that mentions is the Axe Gang. But I was actually just kind of thinking about, like, literally really modern day stuff. And I don't know if you guys have seen Warrior, the show on HBO, but even like the fact that...
Dude, that show's great.
It's great. And
have you seen all
those? I've fully caught up. And fuck. The Axe...
I need to finish.
The I haven't started it.
Like, one of the biggest tongs that they have in San Francisco at the time, their main weapon is Axe. They're fully dressed up the exact same way that this gang is. Like, you can see that there's so many influences probably in realities of what actually happened in China around that time, of gangs taking over certain areas. But you can see similarities in how the kung fu is done. You can see similarities in how, like, the banter is. Is there any other movies
that you guys... Didn't I have guns? Or
well, back in the day, I mean, not the common folk.
Yeah, you know? But they're a gang. What are they doing? Are they not making money?
Well, the problem is, I mean, you have to think
it's
about...
It's a bad gang.
There's a lot of places in the world where having a gun will get you locked up, but having a hatchet won't. So, what safe. About you guys? Do you guys see any other, or can you guys think of any other movies, not to put you guys too much on the spot?
I mean, you know.
Any other media that has been so influenced
Shang-Chi,
by this?
Man. Shang-Chi.
Oh, yeah, with the rings, too.
With the rings. They totally changed his power set, you know.
Instead of having...
Which him, I think was a lot better.
It was. It was very
good. And that character in Kung Fu Hustle was badass.
How do you guys feel about that Shang-Chi as a movie?
I liked it a lot.
Phenomenal.
It
was
I
good.
I loved it. I don't the ending very much because it turned...
It got a little too cheesy.
I got too much CGI, but I like the whole father son relationship.
Did. Now this is I'm kind of passionate about this. What do you guys think as Awkwafina as an actor?
I haven't seen her do anything good, but I haven't seen everything that she's done.
Yeah.
If you've seen Crazy Rich Asians, have you seen?
I hated Crazy Rich Asians.
Wow,
I actually liked it.
He's not a Crazy Rich Asian, so he.
That's why he hates. He envies them. He's like, Malita
Pobreza. Why are they all prettier than me?
Their skin is flawless. Okay,
I just couldn't relate.
Yeah. Actually, I could. Funny wow, enough.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
All right, but
crazy.
What about you guys? Did you guys find anything anything you guys see?
I mean, off the dome, I mean, I can see how it has an influence, but off the dome, I can't think of an example.
I think this movie just like is so in its own like place in history that I can't see any other movies even coming close. They may try to imitate it at any point. I don't know, right? But like, because I'm not a movie historian like Andre and Alexis when it comes to this type of stuff, or even sometimes you, because I know you look up the facts, like, it's so particular. It's shot in such a way that I haven't seen any other movie, and that's maybe my lack of watching type of movies like this that are shot from China and stuff like that or other places.
It's definitely a you know, Chinese film. Yeah. You're like, you're not gonna get an American guy doing this kind of thing.
And the Chinese go for it. They go hard when it comes to stunts.
And I think they're okay with being a little campy too, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, they're not embarrassed by that sort of shit.
I'm thinking The Raid, but I'm not sure if that came like around the same time.
Raid was like in the 90s, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, Raid was in the fucking mid 2000s, bro.
Was it?
2010s, yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, so it came after. So I feel like that has.
How does The Raid?
But I don't know. No, I wouldn't say The Raid is any.
I'm trying to picture it, but
no.
Like for me, like a
that's
lot.
Not the movie.
Even that even is the movie. Honestly,
yeah,
but
that's the one.
For me, even thinking about movies like Inglourious Basterds, like Django, like movies where you could tell like they took very serious settings, very serious topics, and very like action filled movies and made them funny.
Yeah.
Made them
it's funny you mentioned those films, because I think Tarantino is a big, you know, fan of Chinese martial arts film, and I bet he loves Kung Fu. I think he shows Kung Fu Hustle at his New Beverly Cinema, you know. I think so he's definitely a fan of this.
You know what we should do one day? I think we should just like for like a whole year try to go to the New Beverly Center and see if he comes out and try to get him on the podcast.
Hey,
he has his own podcast.
Yeah,
dude, I've been to the New Bev so many times last year, and I never once saw him.
Never. Hey, does he even come out? I feel like he just owns it. He's like,
he's just the owner.
Yeah, why am I gonna?
You never. He like.
You never know.
You never know.
Maybe
you
he's in the back. Know.
Maybe we go like.
So we're gonna go every day for a year.
So now you want to go to LA and watch a movie? Huh?
Hey, he said he
would. Now you want to do that? Okay.
Alexis, you basically live over there because you work, so it's whatever. Not fair.
You're trying to move. All right, guys. You fucking slut. Trying to leave Orange County?
Maybe I will.
You trying to go to dirty ass LA County?
I just want to be close to those movie theaters, bro.
Bro, we just got to move to Atlanta or something. It's the new Hollywood.
What the fuck, dude?
It's the new Hollywood, let's be honest.
It's the new Hollywood. All right, guys, ratings time. I want to hear from, let's see, Isaac. Usually you don't get to go first, so let's start with you. What do you think? What was this movie for you?
I give this a certified.
Holy shit, that's a whole ass 10.
That's a Hawk 2
right
there.
That's a whole ass 10.
Hawk 2.
Wow.
That I think it's
actually, you didn't even spit on it.
I don't need to. It's just
went straight for
it. Baby girl, have you seen these lips? I don't need to spit.
Baby girl. All right, George. Baby girl, what you got?
I loved it. Fantastic. No complaints. Give it a 9. It's good.
Okay.
Solid. That's crazy. Solid 9. We like it. What about you, that's Alexis?
Crazy. Dude, I've rated this on Letterboxd full 5 stars. Like since the fucking beginning, man. It's always been a 10 for me. Always.
Yeah.
You're fucking weird if you don't like this movie's supposed to be this fucking dumb. Like,
I agree. Yeah. You ever get nervous that we give things too high? You know, sometimes there's that little voice in the back of my head that tells me, and right now I'm telling that voice, fuck off. This is a 10.
No. This is a 10.
And just because a movie's a 10, that rated by most of us, if even a 9 is great, honestly, doesn't mean that you guys shouldn't watch this. Watch this fucking movie.
George really fucked it for us, though, because now we're on an average of 9.75.
Hey, you know what? We'll still give it a 5.
Yeah, it's still a 5-star.
Look, it's not for everyone. Like, I mean, but I loved it.
Hey,
and
yeah.
Let's see.
And I think
not, it would be a perfect
whether time. You like it or not, like, and you rated a 3, a 4, or whatever you fucking rated, can we all agree this is a movie we can watch and just have a silly goose time?
Yeah.
If you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. Grab some popcorn, grab a loved one, have a good fucking silly
goose
time.
Turn your brain off, turn on your just fucking eyes.
Look, it's hot, it's the summer, you turn on your AC, you get yourself a cold-ass ice cream, and a torta maybe.
You go to your local ice cream lady, you steal ice cream and money from her.
And a lollipop.
Slap her across the face, and then you go.
And then you throw king signs.
Yeah, we do not consent to hitting women, men, anybody.
Except George.
Except George. Yeah.
He learns with the boost.
Yeah, but I think it's one of those rare films that we all kind of give it a really high score.
You give it a...
Yeah, I give it a lot.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for potting with us, you guys. Make sure you guys follow us on all our social medias, interact with us, engage with us. We'd love to hear from you guys about anything, whether you like it, dislike it. If you have any comments, suggestions,
tell us your personal
problems. And, hey,
give us suggestions.
And the gift is still out there for anybody that's willing to take it.
You heard him,
buddy.
Talk to us. We know you movie people are out there. Come on, find us.
Find us, you weirdos.
All right, guys. This has been Four Guys,
One Cock. Oh, damn it. It's all right. Nobody listened to our stand anyway. It's fine.
And they never get to the end. Michelle does. She gets mad at me.